In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we end the novena to Divine Mercy, and we pray everything in the divine will. And praying in the divine will is like a turbo on an engine. There's more power. There's more force. You begin to understand the power of the engine, or you want to say the power of the prayer. When we pray in everything in the divine will, what happens is we're repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And again, this is something that's so essential today. We're going through some very interesting times, to say the least. And the prayers of the saints are powerful. But what we're going to face, we need like a super boost, a turbo engine to get through what's coming. And this is what the divine will is. The divine will is to begin to understand what Jesus said in sacred scripture and put it into full power, if you want to say. So we end today that with the novena to the Divine Mercy, and we're gonna hear what Jesus wants us to do. And this is why he gave Louisa the Book of Heaven, how to repair and redo, how Jesus did this, how Mary did this, how the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary is repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And this is what our Lord has given to us. This is why this is such a glorious time to be alive. We have to remember what St. Joan of Arc said. We were born for this day. She says, I was born for this time. And that's what we're going to begin to understand as we enter into this great gift of the divine will. So in volume one, Louisa begins, I should say Jesus begins with, oh, please imitate me when I was in the house of Nazareth. And this is one of the things that as a third order Benedictine, this is what we're doing. We make this promise that we are going to live as Jesus lived in the house of Nazareth, as Mary lived in the house of Nazareth. Our houses become houses of Nazareth. And for all the prayer groups, this is the image that Jesus shows us, really, in the divine will, to have this image of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Joseph was in the presence of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And he learned how to live this life, this beautiful family life of God. This is what we do too. We consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We consecrate ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we want to live the way Jesus and Mary lived. Now in our homes, there are some that do not want the divine will. There are some in our communities that do not want the divine will. That's okay. Jesus said it's not for everybody at this point. It is in reality for all mankind, but it depends on their submission, their docility, their surrender to what God wants. But most people will not want this gift. That's okay. Jesus says their human wills are so strong they can't surrender. I'm going to do it my way. I have some good friends who say to me, I have enough saints. I don't need any more saints. I don't need a Louisa Picaretta. And as Father Pucci always would say, the church is going to recognize who Louise is in what God has done with her. And our job is to say, okay, it's all right, you know, because Jesus asked Louisa, would you take their place? Would you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach? What did he do? He stood in the breach so that the Israelites would not be punished. And again, this is what we're doing. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Our Lady stood there with Jesus, agreeing, yes, Lord, let it be done to me as you say. So when the Lord gives us this gift, it's for very few at this time, Jesus says. what does that mean? It means good people, holy people, saintly people have a plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build a church for Christ. I'm going to build a school for Christ. I want people to understand this beauty of the Holy Catholic Church. And Jesus says to Louisa, let me do this now. You've done it in through a saintly, good, and holy human way. Now I want to begin it to be done in a saintly, divine manner. And he says, the only one that can do this is me, Jesus. So he's asking us to basically let him accomplish this. I remember when Archbishop Cassati said to us in 1997, he says, you're promoting Louisa in a human way, in a saintly way, in a good way. He says, Louisa must be promoted in a divine manner. And I remember when he said this, I went, what's a divine manner? I don't know what a divine manner is. We're doing as best as we can. And what it is you begin to live this life. And then people throughout the world who are disposed also begin to live this life. It's not you saying, this is what we're going to do. It's you enter into this gift, listening to Jesus, listening to the Blessed Mother, in the words that were dictated to them. And Louisa put it down on paper, and we begin to listen to them. And what happens is somebody in China begins to live in the divine will. Somebody in India begins to live in the divine will. Somebody in South America begins to live in the divine will. And it's not because of what we do, but what God is doing in us. So Jesus says, oh, please imitate me when I was in the house of Nazareth. That means following the holy humanity of Christ. Okay, this is essential. To follow the holy humanity of Christ means this. It means that everything that's opposed to the holy humanity of Christ is gone from our life. Only then can we understand what it means when the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. And for most of mankind, almost all of mankind, Our Lady shows us this, those that die have to go to purgatory. Most will go to purgatory, she says. She says, why? Because their humanity has not followed the holy humanity of Jesus and Mary. There's things in their life that have to be purged. Things that in their life that Jesus and Mary would not have lived, would not have participated in. So that we have to go to purgatory to be purged of that. And then once that is all purged, once our humanity echoes the holy humanity of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, then what happens at that point is then they can begin to share in divinity. See, this is Jesus says, I'm not going to mix this divine with that which is fallen human. So we have to strive to become that holy humanity of Christ. That's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And a lot of people say, well, I just want to read, volume 11 through volume 19, how to possess this gift through the power of the Holy Spirit, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, all I want is to have volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And Jesus tells us very clearly, you have to live volume 1 through volume 10 first. How do we reflect the holy humanity of Christ? And this is what it is. Imitate me when I was in the house of Nazareth. My mind was occupied with nothing but the glory of the Father and the salvation of souls. So that's the very first thing. Why are we alive? To give glory to the Father, to praise to the Father, love to the Father, as Jesus did. Not as we want, but as Jesus did this. And the salvation of souls, so that all mankind could have in their heart this life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, to praise God, to love God, to glorify God, to worship God. So those are the two things, loving God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is how we begin. My mouth uttered nothing but holy discourses. Let's think about what we've been saying. Are our words holy discourses? And if not, then we have to purge ourselves from that now before we die, or that will have to be purged, every thought, every word, every deed in purgatory. See, this is why this novena to the Divine Mercy is so important. Tomorrow, this is what John Paul II basically tells us. We will be forgiven once we go to confession. And again, confession is necessary. Getting absolution from the priest. That's the way Jesus set it up. That's how he set it up in his holy church. Once we confess our sins, what happens at that point is we are freed of all temporal punishment due to sin. It's as if we were newly baptized. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. This is so powerful. Newly baptized. What does this mean? This new baptism is what Jesus says, excuse me, what St. John Paul II says about divine mercy. It's as if you're getting a second baptism. Beginning again, where we can be full tilt, if you want to say, this turbo engine of power, of prayer that God is going to give to the whole world. See, the reason we need this is the church is going to go through every heresy that the church has ever gone through at once. It's all going to come against the church. This is when people say, well, Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's true. But what is it prevailing over? It's a full attack against the church. Everything's going to come at the church at once, but it's going to prevail. You have to understand, it's not that we're going to not have any difficulties. It's going to be, look what Jesus went through. Look what Mary went through at the foot of the cross. You know, the saints say that the bride of Christ must go to Calvary to be crucified. Okay, what does that mean? That means we, as Jesus says, my mind was occupied with nothing but the glory of the Father, nothing of earth. The salvation of souls, nothing about me, but about souls. With my words, I, Jesus, tried to repair for the offenses against the Father. That's the repairing and the redoing that Jesus is going to teach us. Let's just look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. And it's not to judge. It's most, if not all, are in some way or another against Christ and his church. I've heard so many good Catholics say to me, well, it doesn't matter about what the church says. I'm going to do this. He says this, with my words, I try to repair for all the offenses against my Father, to dart through the hearts and to draw them to my divine love, my mother's divine love, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, primarily my mother and Saint Joseph. Okay. In a word, everything that Jesus said, called upon God. Every thought, word, and deed was done for the glory of God. And everything that Jesus did on earth referred to the Father. That's what he's asking of us. Are you willing to begin to live my life on earth before you die, before you go to heaven? This is what the divine will is all about. He's going to give us the strength and that power, if you want to say, to begin to live volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus Christ and Mary. It's always, Jesus and Mary always one. That's what they gave to Louisa. Volume 1. So you, while seeing yourself beaten, disheartened, and alone, you shall resign yourself to my holy dispositions. So this is something that is such a blessing to us. All of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are suffering. What are we doing with that? He says this, while you see yourself beaten, disheartened, and alone, you shall resign yourself to my holy dispositions, what I, God, have allowed for you to go through. This is your cross. This is your life. Do you trust me? Jesus says, if you do, you resign yourself. this is what God is asking of me. So be it. It doesn't mean that you don't pray for healing. It doesn't mean that you don't pray for blessings. It's Jesus says, this is your cross. Trust me. Jesus, I trust in you. He says this, you shall thank me wholeheartedly. See, that's one of the things most people can't do. I've had people say to me over and over and over again, if you knew what my father did to me and my mother and my family, if you knew, you wouldn't forgive them. No. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. He says, you will thank me wholeheartedly. So let me just put it this way. If you didn't go through the difficulties in your life, you would not be here at this point. See, we're very stubborn. We're very selfish. We're very self-centered. We're very egotistical. And if we don't go through these trials and tribulations, which is basically, this is how you break a horse. A wild horse cannot be ridden unless it's broke. You got to break that. Okay, how do you do it? God does it. He calms us down from our wildness. He breaks us down so that he can train us. He can lead us. He can guide us. And that's what's needed. He says, you shall thank me wholeheartedly for all that you've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You shall kiss the hand of mine that strikes you. Each and every one of us was on the way to hell. I don't care how good and holy and saintly we thought we were. We're on the way to hell. And Jesus had to break us of that. The wildness had to stop. You had to recognize yourself unworthy, recognize yourself unworthy of those pains. So, you know, what was really funny, not funny, but what Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen said, he was in our diocese. He lasted in our diocese basically almost 3 years. He was broken. He what happened was the jealousy, the anger towards him, this misery basically made him realize that he couldn't be a good bishop in a diocese. Why? Because of the attacks, the continuous attacks that were basically directed at him. And he left. And years later, he said it was the worst time in his entire life that what he went through, being a total failure. Here's this great television producer. I mean, television, man, a bishop, archbishop who gave Christ to the world, basically. And they broke him. And what did he say? He said, I didn't suffer enough. This is what it means. Recognizing yourself unworthy of those pains. He recognized that as a fallen human, there should have been more suffering that he went through. And here, the worst thing in his life, he said, that he had to go through was being recognized as a bishop who can't be a good bishop. And it's not because he did anything wrong. It's because he was attacked continuously. He says, this is what Jesus says. You have to understand that what you've gone through, what we've gone through, is nothing than what we should go through. All of us should be tortured as Jesus was tortured. Why? Because we are the ones that produced him crucified. He took upon himself all our suffering, all our pain, all our torture, so that we wouldn't have to. But most of us don't even think of Christ crucified. We don't even spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and worshiping God. Most people sleep in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Well, I've spent my hour of prayer or reading. It's to be in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord, in that when Jesus is seen in the monstrance, our hearts should be on fire. We should not be able to look away from him. We should be focused on him, not sleeping, not reading, not praying, but falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. He says this, then after you recognize yourself unworthy of those pains, offer to me those bitternesses, offer to me those anguishes, offer to me those tediums, praying to me to accept them as a sacrifice of praise, as a sacrifice of sanctification for your sins, as a sacrifice of reparation for the offenses that our sins has given to Jesus. And he says, by doing so, your prayer shall ascend before my throne as a most fragrant incense. It shall wound my heart. You shall draw new graces and new charisms upon yourself. That's one of the things that is important. When you burn incense, it's to recognize that your prayer is going to the throne of God. It's a really powerful symbol. You not only see it, the smoke going up, but you smell it throughout the day. Oh, yes, my prayer is going to the throne of heaven. He says, by doing so, the prayer that you shall ascend before my throne is most fragrant incense. It shall wound my sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the fire from heaven. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You shall draw new graces, abundant graces, new charisms upon yourself. And what are those? That's the number six of the six steps to receive the reflection, if you want to say, of God in us. To participate in all that our God wants us to possess. When he breathed into the dust and the image and likeness of God came out of the dust. That's what God wants for us, to return to the image and likeness. Number three, for the visits. This is something really important. Think about this. This is what he asked of Louisa, and he asks this of us. For the visits and acts of reparation, you must know, he says, this is a command from Jesus, that everything I did in the course of my 33 years, from when I was born to when I died, I am. He uses God's name, continuing in the sacrament at the holy altar. The churches are empty. He says, everything that I did in my 33 years, well, from when I was born until I died, I am God continuing in the sacrament of the altar. And the churches are empty. Do you see why Jesus is asking of us to take the place of all mankind in front of the Blessed Sacrament? To adore him, to love him, to praise him, to thank him, to bless him, to worship him. I mean, if we can't find a church, go to the internet. How many Eucharistic adorations are live if you want? Therefore, I, God, want you to visit me 33 times a day. People immediately go, oh, I can't do that. I can't spend 33 times a day. Just think about it. You can visit every church you've ever been in with your mind. I like to go and visit the church that I was baptized in, genuflecting in my mind's eye, genuflecting in front of the Blessed Sacrament and spending a moment there, going to where I was confirmed, going to where I received my first penance, going to where I was ordained or for you when you were married. Go to the church. Go to the church that you visited in Washington, in Italy, in France, Germany. Go to the Eucharistic churches where Jesus is no longer there, and adore the spot where Jesus once was. Just to genuflect and say, I know you were once here, Lord. This used to be a church, Lord, and I want to adore you. Again, it's not spending hours and hours and hours. It's to visit. He says, I, God, want you to visit me 33 times a day. Oh, that's too much for me. I can't do that. I've got so many things. Jesus says, I want you to visit me in my church, the church that you were born in, the church that you were baptized in, the church that you were confirmed in. I want you to visit me. Just for a second, just a quick visit. there used to be a time when people would be walking down the street and the church would be there and they'd walk in, kneel down, say an Our Father, greet the Lord, and then walk back. Just a visit. This is what Jesus is saying. Honoring my years, but also uniting with me in the sacrament with my holy intentions. It's to be there for him. That is reparation, adoration, praise, glory, honor. And this you should do at all times. At all times. Just think about it. What you can do is you can, on the clock, put two times on a clock. You know, maybe 12 and 6 or 9 and 3. This time, I just want to make a visit to you, Lord. Somewhere where nobody's in the church right now. The church is empty. And I want to visit you. Reparation, adoration. This you shall do at all times. So he's telling us, do you want this turbo engine? Do you want your prayers to be on fire? He says, just listen to what I'm saying to you. Jesus is saying to us, and obey. So we say to the Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? He'll show you what the way and the how. It's not difficult. He says, you shall do this at all times. With the first thought in the morning, fly immediately before the tabernacle in which I am present for love of you and visit me. That doesn't mean we have to drive to a church and then drive to another church. And that you've been there. And in time and space, you're still there. Go to the church. I mean, how many churches are there in Rome? I mean, how many churches have you visited? Go there. Go to the shrines. Kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament, even if it's not there, because it was once there. He says, first thought in the morning, fly immediately before the tabernacle in which I am present for the love of you, and visit me in the last moment of the evening while you sleep at night, before you, and after your meal, the beginning with each one of your actions while walking, while working. Visit me. Volume 1, I would begin to pray for sinners or to do acts of reparation. Sometimes I would laugh when the demons started to do unusual things and would say to them, how can I fear you, cowardly species? See, the demons are dead. They're living dead. This is why they smell. This is why they're screaming in agony. And that's why when Louisa shows us when the demons appear to her, she'd laugh at them. She goes, I would laugh at them. You know, how can I fear you? You're living dead. You're cowardly species. You have nothing to do with God. You have nothing to do with me. Do you see what's happening? Is you take authority. Now, this is the turbo that Jesus is going to give us with this great gift of the divine will. And if you were serious beings, you would not have done so many silly, useless, miserable things. Don't you yourself feel ashamed? Don't let yourselves be made fun of. They can't help it. They're ugly. God is not with them. And if they tempted me with blasphemies and hatred of God, I would offer him, Jesus, the most bitter pains that violence I made to myself in seeing that while the Lord is deserving of all the love, all the praises, I was forced the opposite in reparation for many who blaspheme against him freely, who do not even remember that God exists, whom are obliged to love God in return. So here she's saying what she went through, she would offer to God. What the devil would try to do, no, I'm going to give glory to God. I want God to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that he so rightly deserves. Now, who can say the rage of the devil, since all his tricks resolved into confusion for himself? It's not to be afraid. There, there he thought he would gain and how he would lose. His very temptations and tricks were used by the soul, by us, by Louisa, by us, to make acts of reparation, acts of love for her God by acting in this way, loving God, adoring God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. If then they beat me and hit me, now here we get a glimpse of what Louisa went through. We don't go through this. I was to humble myself, to kneel and to thank my God, because this was happening as a penance for all my sins. Not only this, but to offer everything as acts of reparation for all the offenses against God that were given in throughout the whole world. This is a glorious time to be alive. Volume 1, Jesus says, come to offer yourself before the divine justice as a victim of reparation for the offenses that are given. So Jesus is showing us what he is at, why he is asking us to visit him. Offer yourself before the divine justice as victim of reparation for all the offenses that are given to God. For the conversion of sinners, with eyes closed, drink the poisonous font of sin. They don't care what they do. And we're going to stand there and say, Lord, have mercy on these souls who are drinking this poison. Have mercy on them. Free them, Lord, to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Volume 1, daughter, take a look at what men do to me. In these sad times, their pride is so great that they have infested all the air. What do you think those chemtrails are? Just by chance? No. It's our sinfulness that's causing that. See, when we enter into a state of grace, when we enter, you know, a good confession, freed from our sins, our misery, what happens is the world is changing. When we begin to live in the divine will, the world is changing. When we sin, the world is changing for the worse. When we are striving for perfection, the world is changing for good. Your families are changing. Your neighbors are changing. Your coworkers are changing. Why? Because of what you think, say, and do. It's affecting the whole world. In these sad times, their pride is so great that they have infested all the air, and the stench that spreads everywhere is such that it has reached even before my throne in heaven. Let's just think of those chemtrails. What we can say to Jesus is, I'm sorry for this. He's making it clear to us. It's like watching the incense go to heaven. That's where our prayers. He's saying, I want you to see the sin in the world, the pollution in the lakes, the pollution on the ground. I want you to see what sin does. Where is our paradise? You know, they say save the world. No, the world is there to show us our condition. It's not to save the world, it's to save our souls. It's to say to the Lord, this is bad. Lord, I want to repair this. I want to bring about a new beginning. That's what the divine will is, a new beginning for all mankind. They act in such a way as to close the heavens by themselves. The miserable ones have no eyes to know the truth because they are obfuscated by the sin of pride with a sequel of other vices that they carry within themselves. And then this is Jesus' prayer. Oh, please give me, Jesus says, a relief for so many bitter spasms and a reparation for so many wrongdoings against me. Christ crucified. This is our job. So Jesus is going to give us a power and a strength, one with him and his mother through the little newborn, Louisa Picaretta. Volume 1, you have seen how much they offend me, how many walk along the path of iniquity without realizing it, fall into the abyss, fall into hell. Come to offer yourself before the divine justice, victim of reparation for the offenses that are given and for the conversion of sinners who with eyes closed drink at the poisonous fount of sin. But God is asking us to recognize why we are here. To praise God, to love God, to glorify God, to worship God, and to help souls get to heaven. He's going to teach us how to do this. And little by little, as we listen, obey to Jesus speaking to us through the writings of the Book of Heaven, everything changes. The world changes. Heaven is coming. Volume 1, resign yourself, place yourself as though dead in my arms to offer yourself as voluntary victim to repair the offenses against me, God, for sinners, to spare men the deserved scourges. And as pledge, this is God. I, God, give you my word that shall not leave you even one day without coming to see you. This is the great promise that Jesus gave to Louisa and to us. When you read the calendar, that's why I love the calendar. In a year, you have read all 36 volumes except for volume one. Volume one doesn't have any dates, as you can see. So you read everything that Jesus says to you. And what happens? He's visiting us. He's talking to us. He says, I promise you. He says, I will be with you every day. I will see you every day. And so what we do, when we visit the tabernacle, we see him every day, 33 times a day for his 33 years. Volume one, as for creatures, use profound silence. Okay, that's the life of Mary, silent. That's the life of Jesus, 30 years of silence. As for us, use profound silence submissive with everything. Let your life, your breath, your thoughts, your affections be continuous acts of reparation to placate my divine justice, offering me along with them, all your brothers and sisters, the bothers of creatures, and there not should be a few. So he's saying, I'm going to show you what's going on in the world. He says, will you offer this up to me? As Our Lady was silent at the foot of the cross, would you offer this up to me? To repair, redo. Volume one. So what Jesus is doing in volume one, he's getting Louisa to begin to understand what this reparation is. Volume one. I had my gaze fixed on the will of the Father, and I offered those pains and reparation for many who commit the most wicked actions publicly with open eyes, boasting about them without the slightest blush. I would say to Jesus, to the Father, Father, accept my confusions, my appropriation, my reparation for the many who have the insolence of offering you so freely without the slightest sorrow. Forgive them. Give them light. How many go against the teachings of the church? Forgive them. Give them light that they may see the ugliness of sin and convert. Your prayer will be answered. Not only for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your workers, your parishioners, but for everyone. I, God, want to make this is Louisa, to make you to share in these kinds of sufferings. So here, God is asking us to enter into this life that Jesus lived, that Mary lived. Again, silence, but publicly begging God for forgiveness. Okay. Jesus is showing us how to live, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's volume one through volume 10. Volume two, 4799. My good Jesus, don't you yourself see how I feel life missing in me? Tell me at least, how can one be without you? How can one live? We get to the point where if you don't have Holy Eucharist every day, you feel life missing in you. If you don't read sacred scripture every day, you have life missing in you. When you don't listen to Jesus speak to you, when you read the book of heaven, you have life missing in you. Though I am ungrateful at so many graces, yet I love you. And since I offer you this most bitter pain of your absence to repair for my ingratitude. See, we don't. People, I've talked to people and they say, well, I love God. I love God. You got to love God more today than yesterday. You got to love God more tomorrow than today. Your love has to increase every single day. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. He says, I offer you this most bitter pain of your God's absence to repair for my ingratitude. Volume 2, 4999. This morning, I want to make you content. This is Louisa. Come and stay with me. Oh, Jesus, sorry. Son. Jesus says, I want to make you content. Come, stay with me in the tabernacle. This is what's so amazing. Our prisoner, St. John Paul II called the Eucharist the prisoner of love. The prisoner of love says, would you stay with me in the tabernacle, alone with God? And so we both withdrew into the tabernacle. Who can say what we did? Now he would kiss me and I would kiss him. I would rest in him and he would rest in me. Now I would see the offenses he received and would make acts of reparation for the difficult of different offenses. Somebody said to me, though, that's disgusting. Well, no, you don't understand. Jesus holds Louisa as his little one and kisses her as a father would kiss his little baby. And then it reversed. Louisa would become the mother and Jesus would be the little child and she would kiss him as a mother would kiss her little baby. See, this intimacy that God wants from us, we have to begin to see from a Christ point of view. Volume 2, 5999. My daughter, it is my divine justice that wants to pour itself over the creature. So God knows that we are far from him, even though he has redeemed us and Our Lady co-redeemed with him. He says, the number of sins of men is almost complete. Justice wants to come out to make prompt of its fury to find reparation for the injustices of man. So he says to Louisa, will you help me? Okay, what does that mean? We pray and repair for when we see something bad. I know, well, that person is doing that over there. No, it's not to judge. It's Jesus saying, look what they're doing. And he says to us, would you repair and redo? So we say to Jesus, we say to our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our God, we say, thank you for showing this to me. I know it's offending you, God, and I'm sorry that it's offending you. And number three, I want to repair this as if it never happened. To see what God is calling us to. The repair of the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle in us the fire of your love, which is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Lord God, will renew the face of the earth through us. God's going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to do this. Volume 2, 6599. I prayed for sinners, saying to Jesus, oh, how I wish that my body would split into tiny little pieces if only sinners would convert. So I kissed the forehead. I kissed the eyes. I kissed the face. I kissed the mouth of Jesus, doing various adorations and reparations for the offenses that sinners gave him. Oh, how content Jesus was, and so was I. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. Volume 2, 7999. My daughter, Louisa, I make use of you in order to continue my passion. Since my glorified body can no longer be capable of suffering, by coming to you, I, God, make use of your body just as I used mine during the course of my mortal life to be able to continue to suffer my passion and therefore to be able to offer you, us, as a living victim of reparation and propitiation for divine justice. So here Jesus is showing us why he's doing this. He's allowing us to be give adoration and reparation for the offenses. See, we're going to learn why we're suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. He's going to show us why to repair and redo. Volume 2, 10.1.99. I said, Lord, what are you saying? If there are some who abuse the sacraments, there are also many good daughters who receive them with due dispositions and who would suffer very much if they could not attend them. And Jesus says this, too scarce is their number. And then their pain for not being able to receive them shall be a work as reparation for me and to make them victims for those who abuse them. Jesus is showing us why what's happening in the world today. We have to understand what's happening in the world today is for something that's amazing that's coming. As the firstborn were killed for Moses, the Israelites were freed from Pharaoh. As the children were killed when Jesus was born, it was to prepare the world for the freedom from slavery of the devil. And now the abortions that are happening, the abuse that's happening is to free all the world of the human misery from now on. The kingdom is coming. We're going to live fully in the divine will. So he says, too scarce is their number. And then the pain for not being able to receive them shall work as reparation for me to make them victims for those who abuse them. God has a plan, and it's a good plan. And the more we understand our Lord, we understand what he is going through and what he is asking us to go through. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.